You are listening to the Life Church Podcast. To learn more about Life Church, our gathering times at any of our central Indiana locations, or our Life Crew online, visit us at lifechurchin.com or follow the link in the description. Today's talk is from Pastor Derek Lopez.
Hey, so this topic of anxiety, before I jump into it, I need to explain the difference between anxiety and stress because sometimes they get mixed up. So stress is the physiological and behavioral response to an immediate threat or challenge. Now, some you could say that it is a response to a pressure or a weight that affects normal functions of life. Examples of stress could be paying bills when you're unemployed, or could be going to the grocery during this heavy economy and realizing the bill's 400 bucks for the whole family. Right? There's a stress, there's a problem that occurs. Now, anxiety is a little different because it's an emotional feeling of a psychological state anticipating the possibility of harm. So it's a feeling of worry, fear, or dread that something, what could happen or what could happen again. Anxiety is so paralyzing to people, and it affects the normal functions of life as well. So stress usually, once the problem or situation is overcome or removed, stress is taken away. But anxiety can linger because of what could happen or what has already happened. And so to compare a little bit better of different examples between stress and anxiety, it's stressful for my wife and I to put 7 kids to bed at night. That's stressful. Now, what brings me anxiety about my kids is realizing what type of boys could come around to try to date my daughters. That brings me anxiety. Now, some people, they go to relieve stress, they'll go to have a back massage, but the thought of that gives me anxiety. I don't want anybody putting their hands on me at all, right? If you're normal like me, you don't want that. But you know, we all deal with anxiety from time to time, and maybe you have anxiety about our nation. Who knows what President Biden said last week about Trans Visibility Day? Who knows, that was a demonic statement. And so, but it brings you anxiety because of the decisions that have been made about where the nation could go. It's this feeling of, oh no, what's going to happen? Maybe it's about the all the immigrants that have come in, the illegal immigrants that have come into our nation. Well, they're here now. I don't think they're all going to leave. They want to be here. And so we have anxiety, a real pressure that we have to deal with, and we have to know what God's word says about it. But you know, our response to that anxiety of the nation and to all the different issues that we have, even LGBTQ claiming almost 4 months, according to Fox News, they have 3 months they claim and 28 days for a whole year. But our response isn't to just complain and bellyache. Our response is according to 1 Timothy chapter 2, which says, I want you to pray for all people. And our response to our president isn't to call him names, isn't to say, let's go, Brandon. It's to pray for him. The Bible says we should pray for kings and all of those in authority. Our response as Christians is prayer. Yes, we can have a boundary and say, hey, that's not okay. But the number one thing that we can do is we submit ourselves to God and say, God, we need your help. So let's do that in this moment. Let's pray for our nation. We need to pray. Amen. Would you all join me? Link your faith with mine. Father God, we come to you in the name of Jesus. Lord, we ask that you would touch President Biden. Lord, we pray that you would bring him to repentance, Lord. God, we pray he will turn from his wicked and evil ways and decisions that he's making. We pray, Lord, if he won't, then you will replace him in Jesus' name. We ask that you have mercy on our land. We ask, Lord God, that you sweep across our nation and bring revival. We ask for heart change, even in the immigrant and those who are not. Lord, we ask that you touch every life. We ask you to transform the hearts to true love. In Jesus' name, amen. Our greatest response is prayer in every area of life. But to talk a little bit more about anxiety, if it's not dealt with properly, it can lead to panic attacks, it can lead to depression, it can lead to loss of production, and even the potential for suicide. See, for many of us, we may not understand the weight of anxiety, but it's a real pressure. And maybe you are struggling with anxiety, and maybe you don't even know what it is, but if I read one of these things, this might be a symptom that you struggle with anxiety. These are unhealthy coping mechanisms. The first one is addiction. This could be drugs, alcohol, pornography. It could be fears. It could be reliving details of trauma as if it were happening right now. It could be isolation, overworking, overeating, oversleeping, emotional eating, avoiding the situation, procrastination, isolation, aggression, impulsive spending, avoiding healthy coping, and denial. Now, I read isolation twice, but it's important we know the symptoms. We need to know what the issue is. We need to name what it is that we're struggling with. Because, you know, like Jesus says, he says, the scripture says, every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord, but you have to be able to name it. We need to be able to name what we're struggling with. And one thing I'll say before I jump into spiritual prescriptions for anxiety, it's important if you have any prescription from your doctor for anxiety, stress, depression, loneliness, despair, whatever it is, you need to continue to listen to your doctor. Don't just jump off the medication cold turkey because of the things that I'm telling you. You need to be wise. Now, yes, you can go and get a couple more, talk to a couple other doctors if you need, but you need to form a plan with your doctor if you're wanting to get off medication. Don't just jump off of it because it'll hurt yourself. Okay? But the Apostle Paul, he has this spiritual prescription that he wants all of us to follow. It's found in 2 Corinthians chapter 10. He says this, though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have the divine power to demolish strongholds. He says we demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. We take captive of every thought and make it obedient to Christ. So that word power, that means it's a dynamic power. It can go many different ways. It's an explosive power. And the Bible says that we have access to that power. In Romans 8, it says the Spirit of God who raised Christ Jesus from the dead lives in you. And just as God raised Christ Jesus from the dead, he will give life to your mortal bodies by the same Spirit living within you. Who knows that's good news? We have access to the power of God. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead. That's great news. But to go a little further, talking about strongholds now, it's like a compound. And the purpose of a compound or a prison camp is to keep you in captivity, keep you in bondage, to keep you from all that you could experience in freedom. But we have divine power to overcome the works of the devil. So maybe the enemy will say to you, speaking of anxiety, this is going to happen to you again. You're going to fail again. People are going to betray you. You're going to have another year like COVID, like 2020. But we have power over our thinking. We need to take every thought captive and make it obedient to Christ. You know that God created our emotions. anxiety is a signal to the body to say there's something not right, to keep you from harm. But where things get mixed up is when we get into a place where deep into anxiety is that I'm not, my spirit isn't leading me anymore, my emotions are leading me. And things have gotten out of balance. And I just want to help you today to get things back into balance. The Bible says this in Proverbs 23:7, "For as he thinks in his heart, so is he." So as a man thinks in his heart, so he is. Where our thinking goes, our life follows. So if we have those thoughts of, what if I get hurt? What if I'm betrayed? No one loves me. They'll leave me again. It's better if I'm alone. You get to a place thinking, it's better if I don't live. Who knows, that thinking, you're not going to be able to move forward with that type of mentality. Henry Ford says this. He says, whether you think, or he said this, he's not alive anymore, obviously. But whether you think you can or you think you can't, you're right. So there's some things that we need to do. We need to, if you struggle in this area or you've struggled and you, it's almost like a repeating pattern, it's time to change the game plan. Who knows that there are certain plays that just aren't going to work? And some of the plays should be clear as day, unless you're the Seattle Seahawks at the Super Bowl with 1 yard to go into the end zone, right? You're going to run the wrong play. But the good news is the Bible gives us the right plays so that we can win the game of life. The first thing we should do is we should inspect our thoughts. Alcoholics Anonymous say the first step to freedom is to admit it, to admit what's wrong. So there's three questions that you need to ask yourself to inspect your thoughts. Number one is, are my thoughts negative? Number two, are my thoughts worldly? And are my thoughts critical? The first one, are my thoughts negative? So it's been said that humans think up to 80,000 thoughts a day. And that 80% of those 80,000 thoughts are negative. Have you ever posted something or said something or presented something, and a lot of people have a lot of good things to say to you, and then you read that one comment. That one person comes and says, that was awful, when 99% of everybody else says, it was really good. Who knows, you're going to focus on the negative. We need to know, are our thoughts negative? Because battles are won and lost in the mind. If you struggle with your thoughts, you could read the book, Winning the Battle in the Mind. But number two, are my thoughts worldly? Is it about what I can get, what I can have, and my pleasures? You know, I recently thought, you know what would be a great way to just grow the church? I'll just get Instagram again. Stupid idea. It's the dumbest thought I had. So I got Instagram, and you know what I started doing? I started comparing with everybody else, either what I had or the size of the church or how we're doing. I fell into this comparison trap, and I got to get off that bad boy, because it will eat me alive, and it will eat you alive too. Are you comparing with other people? Are your thoughts worldly? And then ask this question, are my thoughts critical? Are you hard on yourself? A good litmus test for all of you is to take your thoughts and compare them with the fruits of the Holy Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. Are my thoughts critical? Do you walk into a room and you just think all eyes are on you? And everybody's thinking something about you? People are worried about themselves, everybody. And you don't know, maybe you have a friend who walks by you, doesn't say a word, and they seem upset. Well, maybe they got some bad news. You need to give them grace and yourself grace and not focus on what other people are assuming about you. The first thing was we inspect our thoughts. Number two, we want to replace our thoughts. So I know for me, if I start thinking about pizza, what am I going to go do? Well, get some pizza. You know who has a great deal? No, it's actually not a great deal. It actually costs an arm and a leg. Is Pizza King. And they have the best breadsticks on earth. Somebody testify right now. Right, you order it, it's covered their special sauce and butter, and then you have the nacho cheese dip, and you put it in the nacho cheese, you pull it out, oh, and it's like spicy and sweet, and then the bread just melts in your mouth and just pulls apart just right. Who knows that manna were carbs? It's angel food, everybody. Bread is angel food. And you add cheese to it? Oh, there's a whole river of queso to me in heaven that just flows, and nacho cheese, and the trees grow breadsticks you can just dip in. That's my heaven. I'm excited for it. It's going to be amazing. But you know, imagine instead it's Father's Day. And many of us, we have hot dogs, maybe brats, hamburgers on Father's Day. But if it's a really good Father's Day, you're not having hot dogs or hamburgers. You're going to have a T-bone steak. You marinate it. You put salt on it and pepper and get it all right. You put it on the grill, you cook it, it comes out, you slice it, it just rips so easily. You get a baked potato with some butter or sour cream on the side, put it in your mouth, oh, so good. Now, how many of you right now, you're thinking about Pizza King? No, you're thinking about T-bone steak and baked potato. We want to replace our thoughts. The Bible says this in Romans 12. It says, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. And we have to have the right thinking. The Bible has over 7,500 promises in the Bible to us. We need to know the word. Why? Jesus says, then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Jeremiah 29:11 says this, God speaking says, For I know the thoughts I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Man's title doesn't matter. God's title matters. It's what he says that matters. My wife and I were able to hear this speaker this last week. His name is James Smith. And he talked about his son and how his son, when his son was born, he held him. And he said to his son, you're amazing and you're going to do amazing things. And he would say that to him every morning, every day. He would say, son, you're amazing, and you're going to do amazing things. And then his son, when his son was around 3 or 4, he was walking and said, you know what, Dad, I'm amazing. And James said to him, you are amazing, and you're going to do amazing things. And what happened is his son grew up, still having those words spoken over him. And you know what? He became amazing and he did amazing things. What happened? The father spoke to the son and the son believed what his father spoke about him and was able to run companies to make millions of dollars. He did amazing things to help those who needed help. We want to believe our Father's thoughts in what He says about us. What does the Bible say about you? Anytime that you feel down, you feel cast down, this isn't a prideful statement, it's just what the Word says. It says in Ephesians 2:10, "For we are God's masterpiece." Now some of you look in the mirror and go, no, I'm not a masterpiece. But the Bible says you are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so that we can do good things that He planned for us long ago. You're amazing, and you're going to do amazing things for God. Psalm 139:14 says this, "I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful, and I know that full well." And even if there's times of failure, we have to go back to Scripture. 1 Peter 5 says, "Humble yourselves therefore under God's mighty hand, that He may lift you up in due time, and cast all your anxiety on Him, for He cares for you." We take our thoughts and we make them obedient to Christ. We inspect our thoughts, we replace our thoughts, and number three, we protect our thoughts. The Bible says in Proverbs 4, it says, "Above all else." So it says, this is most important. "Above all else, guard your heart, for everything that you do flows from it." We need to guard our thoughts. We need to guard our thinking. We need to guard what we let in. And the Bible gives us a weapon in Philippians chapter 4. And everybody needs to memorize this. Philippians 4. Verses 4 through 8. We're going to go through verse 9, but if you take out your phone and make that note, Philippians 4, verses 4 through 8. You need to memorize that. If you follow this plan, you're going to be successful and you're going to overcome anxiety. Starting in verse 4, it says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God." So let's break that down a little bit more. He says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice." When you have the thoughts of, "I'm going to be overcome. I'm not going to be promoted. I'm not loved. They're going to hurt me again. They're going to leave. I'm going to relive all that I lived again." You stop and you say, "God, I thank you. I choose to rejoice. Even though I'm having these feelings, I choose to fix my mind on you." And to help you, what you can say to God out loud, because life and death is in the power of the tongue, the Word says. You say, "God, I thank you that you know where my life is going. Lord, you know the challenges that I have, and I rejoice that you have the answers. I rejoice that you're for me. And Lord, I rejoice even if I'm going to go through something difficult, that you, Lord, are doing something greater in me." Do you see how that changes your perspective? It makes your problems small and your God big. We want to make God big in our mind because He is big and He is great and He's wonderful. Then He says, "Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near." That means we cast off aggression. We love people. What did Jesus do when He's on the cross? He's nailed to the cross. And the other guy, the thief on one side, says to Jesus, "Hey, remember me when you come into your kingdom." If anybody had a right to say, "I don't want to talk, it hurts to talk," it was Jesus on the cross. But what did He do? He pulled Himself up so that He could speak, because His lung, they would, to speak or breathe, they'd have to push up on the nails. And He said, "Today you'll be with me in paradise." We need to love people. We need to remember that not everything is about us. We need to cast off selfishness and put on gentleness. Why? Because by this, they'll know, if we love one another, they'll know we're followers of Jesus. Because this life isn't about us. We're just part of it. Love people. And who knows, when you get angry and get upset, get all in a fret and a tizzy, and you yell at somebody, it just makes the anxiety worse. It does the opposite of our response that we have does the opposite of what we think. It just makes everything way worse. So he says, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And what will happen? The peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Above all else, we should what? Guard our hearts. How do we get there? We rejoice in the Lord, we love people, and we choose to throw our thoughts to God and ask Him for wisdom, and the supernatural peace is going to cover us, not just cover us, but it's going to guard our hearts. We need to follow what Scripture says. We need to talk to God. Talk to God and not yourself. When you're talking to your God, when you're talking to yourself, it's just going to go negative. 80% of your thoughts. Talk to God. Ask Him to speak to you, to lead you, to guide you, to renew your mind. Philippians 8 says this, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, if anything is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Those are the things that your mind needs to be fixated on. Things that are eternal, that will last forever. Your problems are just for a time. Fix your thoughts on your God, who has better things for you, who wants to bless you. And then Paul writes this, whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the peace of God will be with you. If you know the Apostle Paul, his name was Saul. He didn't follow God's ways. He followed the Old Testament ways. He followed tradition, but when he came to know Christ, he became a new creature. And what did he do? He committed himself to the will of God. He would pray. He would read Scripture. He would worship. He would be generous. He would work on relationships. You need relationships. You need to get in a life group if you're not. And for some of you, you don't just need a life group, but there's a life group that needs you. And you may need to start your own life group, whether in the summer or in the fall, because there are people that God has called you to be a blessing to. So jump all in. Get involved with life groups. Get in relationship. Do not isolate yourself. It's easy to get to a place where you turn off the lights and you sit in a chair. But we're not called to be in darkness. 1 John says that if we're in the light as He is in the light, and we have fellowship with one another, then His blood will purify us of all sins. We need relationships. You know, some of the healing that you have from anxiety, we confess our sins to God, James says, and we're forgiven, but we confess to one another that we might be healed. Sometimes you can't have emotional healing if you don't share it with somebody else. And sometimes it's a process. It's not just a light switch all the time. Now, speaking of anxiety, let me say this, there is a level where there is a spiritual component. Because our adversary, the devil, is real. He walks around like a roaring lion, seeking to whom he can devour. And if you have stinking thinking, he's going to smell you. So we got to get our thinking correct. Because he'll see you. You know what? In the city of Indianapolis, there are wonderful men and women who are dedicated to getting those out of sex traffic. And one of the things one of them told me was that they prey on those who have low self-esteem. And they'll take boys or girls, it doesn't matter. But what do? They prey on the one who they can actually convince to come in, to get close. And then they use them to the degree they want to use them, abuse them how they want to abuse them. I don't know about you. I don't want to look like an easy target to the devil. I want the devil to see me and run away. Because I have authority over him. Because the weapons of our warfare are powerful and dynamic to destroy the works of the devil. Amen? But look, worship team, you can come on up. Look, you know, maybe you're here today and you have anxiety, you have these feelings you don't know what to do with, and you can't be free unless you meet the chain breaker. You can't experience true freedom if you don't experience the one who is true, Jesus Christ. So I invite you in this moment to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, if you all would bow with me. You don't have to be perfect to get to God. You just have to call out to him. And that's to become perfect. So if you're here today and either you want to give your life over to Jesus, say, I can't do this on my own, you're God and I'm not, I want to help you in that prayer. Or if you want to recommit to Jesus, I want to help you.
If you were encouraged by today's talk, be sure to rate us, share with a friend, and hit subscribe on Spotify, iTunes, or wherever you stream your podcasts. Our mission is simple. Come to life, connect to grow, find your purpose, make a difference. Thanks for listening to the Life Church Podcast.